It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Atamariya, Rachel. I'm in this weird state called Level 3 and sitting looking out over a city that's, strangely quiet. Although, I've got to say, the motorway at, from 6 o'clock in the morning, still quite busy, probably mainly up to Penrose. I come from the south, from Ardmore. But then it becomes quite quiet as you get towards the centre of the city, which indicates that probably the area impacted most, people working from home, will be the centre of the city. But of course, a whole lot of our, most of our businesses are still able to operate. Those not able to operate, that's where I have the worry. Places that might have been just on the margins, mm-hmm. after the earlier Level 3 restrictions, facing it again. Look, we'll know today, won't we, whether we come out tomorrow night or whether it's extended. All you can say at the moment is so far so good, that the tests that have been done of close contacts that have come back have all been negative. But we'll get some thousands of tests back today, particularly from Papatoetoe High School. And that will be, I think, what's really important, to know whether or not there has been wider transmission. And one of the things I know that Ashley Bloomfield's talking about is whether there's a parallel chain of transmission, because we're not sure at this point whether it does come from the mum. Mm-hmm. Everybody's assumed that because she worked at the, dealing with laundry off the international airlines. But the symptoms showed up first in the daughter. And that could mean that, it might have, conceivably, it might have nothing to do with the airport, and it might be an alternative strain in the community. But they haven't been able to find it in any of the MIQ facilities. Mm. So that adds to the mystery.
Let's talk a little bit about what you just mentioned before. Some of these businesses who are struggling and will have been struggling since the lockdowns. It's kind of the nature of what the whole world is going through at the moment. But there has been some criticism of the fact that with these short initial lockdowns that the government's putting Auckland in, there is no wage subsidy to account for the fact that certain people will have no income for 3 days, and for some people that is make or break. What would you like to see? Would you like to see an initial income or a subsidy for people who 3 days off work is actually going to be an extreme hardship?
I guess what ideally I'd like to see, and it's a question of whether it's practical from the government's point of view, is a highly targeted system. So, I think the wage subsidy did a great job initially. It kept our economy going and stopped it crashing to a halt. But, a lot of people, myself included, felt a little uncomfortable that some companies that were then producing record profits and that weren't too badly affected were getting a wage subsidy. And what I'd like to see, if the government were able to do it, was a more targeted system whereby you are targeting to those businesses who, through no fault of their own, are put on the edge, and having a safety net for those businesses. So I've had some brief discussions with the PM about, hey, we are the gateway city, we accept that. I mean, it's just a fact of life. Mm-hmm. But it does mean that we have to carry the burden of higher level restrictions under Level 3. And we shouldn't be carrying that part of the financial burden for the rest of the country, because we're doing it for the country. So that's the line that I'm promoting to government. They've indicated that if it's extended beyond 72 hours, there will be a program, and it will commence after 7 days, but be backdated to the 72 hours. So that's a good start, but we're feeding them information that we get as feedback from local businesses through our organisation, Auckland Unlimited, to help them with that decision making.
Let's talk a wee bit about Sunday, because we had a lot of big, fantastic events happening in Tamaki Makaurau on Sunday, which in a non-COVID moment would have been something to really celebrate, and in many ways it still is. But we are seeing a lot of concern from people about the fact that some of these events were allowed to continue past the time that the government knew that we did have community cases. What is your position on this as the mayor, I guess? Yeah. What was your conversation that you had with the ministry and with the government on
yeah.
this?
Well, Saturday I was out looking at the America's Cup. Sunday I was at the big gay out, and I, literally on the way to the big gay out, I got a call from Ashley Bloomfield. Whenever I see his name come up on my screen from a phone, I think, oh, God. And at that point, they knew from the previous night that there were, at that point, two cases in the one family that had tested positive, but they didn't have enough information to make a decision about whether events needed to be closed down or not. In fact, they didn't make that decision until Cabinet met, and that was late afternoon, about 5:30 or just after 5:30. I specifically asked the question, does that mean that we shouldn't go ahead with these events? And their official advice, and, you know, they're the experts, so I'm not second-guessing their advice, was that, no, at this point, you should go ahead. We have not yet made any decision about lifting the alert level. And, of course, it wasn't just the big gay out, but when I left work at 8:30 on Sunday night, Federal Street was just buzzing because it was Valentine's Day and everybody was out eating in the restaurants, etc. And the when the decision was made, because these things, you know, you've got to look at the practicality of it, it came into effect midnight, which is really quick by comparison to when we originally went into level three and then to lockdown. So, look, I think they got the balance right. I mean, I had two sets of questions from the media yesterday. Isn't this overkill? You know, why are we doing this at all? And then the other set of questions, why didn't we move even faster? And that shows the, you know, there's possible to criticise from both angles. But the truth is, they look at the facts, they balance it up, and they make a decision. And so far, because we've done better than any other country in the world, you've got to say their decision-making has, by and large, been the right decisions. You've got to carry your public with you. You've got to look at the practicality of it. So I'm not critical of the health authorities. I think they gave us the best advice and the best information they've had, and they made the decision to recommend to Cabinet to go to Level 3 on that same advice, and I think that was the right thing to do. You know, it does create problems, you know, for individuals and for our economy, and puts pressure on people. But we know that if we lock down and manage to stop the spread, then from a health point of view, a people point of view, and an economic point of view, that's by far the best way to go. And it's worked for New Zealand to date, and I think it'll work for us again.
Particularly with this new strain from the UK as well, which we've seen overseas causes such, you know, even more exponentially consequential effects from this getting into the community. You know, getting in early is really important, maybe more important than it's ever been in many ways. I know we could talk about COVID all day, and we'll probably talk about it again next week, but I do just want to ask you about a few other things that are going on in Tamaki Makaurau at the moment. One that that we should flag is that yesterday we saw there's been an issue with a new water main in Auckland that's been blocked by 2,000 tonnes of grout. Now, how did this problem arise? What's going on here? This seems like something that just shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I haven't been given specific details on it yet, but I was aware. It's a water main, as I understand it, that's not yet in operation, so it's not affecting the supply of water. But the grout was meant to go around, and this would this would have been presumably by a private contractor. The grout was meant to go around the new pipeline, and instead it infiltrated into the pipeline. And of course, the grout is like concrete, and now they're spending weeks chipping away at it to clear it out. That was obviously an error on the ground by the contractor doing the job, and that's been dealt with between, I presume, Watercare and that contractor. Seems a bit bizarre from the outside, and will be quite costly because it's weeks of work to get the grout out of the pipeline without damaging the pipeline. I'll probably get an update on it when I talk to the chair of the board of Watercare, which I'll be doing today, but clearly it was a screw up, and I'm presuming that the cost of that will be on the company that made the screw up, and it will be a costly thing for whoever is responsible.
All right, well, we will watch this space. Last thing we probably have time to talk about this morning is I think let's just have a quick look at the government's RMA announcements, because that's going to have big effects eventually for us in Auckland. Now, they're going to be scrapping the RMA and hopefully bringing in, I think it's three new types of legislation that will be shaping the way we move forward with big planning and building in New Zealand. This is going to take quite a few years to come into effect, and it's not going to be a quick fix to the housing crisis, as everybody is saying. But what are your hopes and what are your concerns as well with the change in the RMA for Auckland in particular? Because we have such an acute situation with housing here.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're absolutely right to point out that it's not a quick fix. You know, some of the statements from political parties that I've heard is all you got to do is reform the RMA. Actually, if you look at the major problem with Auckland, the problem is not lack of zoning that permits the building of houses. We're zoned for 1 million more houses. The problem is, with the level of growth that we're getting, it's the cost of the infrastructure to turn that zoning into a situation where you can actually build the houses, because they can be connected with roads, with sewerage, with fresh water, with storm water, and all of the other things that go into the provision of new housing. I think the Resource Management Act that went through in 1991, you know, so that was a long time ago now. So we're talking about 30 years. I think it does need to be reformed, and I think the government's gone about it the right way, setting up the expert panel that the Court of Appeal Judge Tony Randerson, QC, led. And they've done it quite thoroughly, and they've looked at the, it's being done from an evidence-based approach, and that's always important. And what they've pointed out is that, you know, the natural environment is still under pressure, and the RMA hasn't dealt fully with the problems of unsustainability. They pointed out also that, you know, urban areas are struggling to keep pace with population growth, and further that we really need to reduce carbon emissions. They're not going to rush this legislation through. They've got a piece of draft legislation they're going to put before a select committee so people can make submissions on it. So when we see the detail, that will become more possible. And then it will be introduced late in the year, and it probably won't go through till the end of next year. So I think it deserves all of that time. The problem is, you know, when you look at it, they say, well, we're going to make the environment more sustainable and we're going to help development move ahead more quickly. And often those two things clash with each other, and it's how they manage those sometimes conflicting objectives that will determine whether we get a better system. So I've got an open mind. I think we need new legislation. I just want to make sure that the new legislation is the best legislation for addressing those problems and doesn't solve one set of problems and create a new set.
No.
That's always the challenge with new legislation.
All right. Well, that is all we've got time for this morning. Thank you very much for speaking to us, Phil Goff. We'll talk to you again.
And hopefully this time next week we'll be back to normal. But,
Fingers crossed.
I'm forever optimistic.
Exactly. Okay. In the meantime, we'll just keep doing all the things we've been doing, staying home, scanning, washing our hands and all that.
Yeah, we're practiced at those things now. So, we should do it better every time. Okay,
exactly.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you very much. Ka kite.
All the best. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.